Monday, February 23rd, 2015. Members, in your packet, we have a couple of meeting minutes for January 27th and February 3rd. If you would be so kind to look over them, and if there would be a motion to approve. So, Senator Reinhart moves to approve the January 27th and the February 3rd minutes. Any discussion, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. These two meetings minutes are approved. Members, we are here with Senator Coonan's has two bills this morning, Senate File 229 and Senate File 188. Senator Coonan, and do you have a preference which one you do first, Senator Coonan?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to start with 288, please.
188?
Or 180, excuse me.
Senate File 188. Senator Coonan.
Mr. Chairman, 229 is the one I would like to start
oh,
with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Senate File 229. And Senator Coonan, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about what you're doing here, and then I see that you have an A5 amendment for Senate File 229. I don't know if you'd like to start with the amendment or the bill.
Well, I'll give just a quick history of the bill first, Mr. Chairman, if that's okay, and then we'll go to the amendment. And the bill was the changes that let me back up a step. First of all, this is the bill that was passed by the legislature last year by very strong margins and then sent to the governor, and the governor vetoed it. The bill, as introduced, included the changes to charitable gambling that they were looking for, and also prohibition to the gambling at the pumps, at ATM machines, and online gambling. And in finance, the prohibition was taken out of the bill by an amendment there. And, Mr. Chairman, the amendment I have today puts the prohibition back into the bill again.
So, Senator,
go ahead, Mr.
So, do you want to start with the A5 amendment then, Senator Coonan?
I would like to, if that's okay with you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. A little more detail on the A5 amendment.
The A5 amendment.
Senator Coonan moves the A5 amendment. Senator Coonan.
Okay, the A5 amendment, the new language is there on lines 1.16 down through 1.23, and then, of course, the remainder of the amendment there also, 1.25 through to the 2.3, and then, of course, the effective dates there. You'll see what looks like new language on line 1.13, but that's actually already in the bill, but the reason that it's put there is that the whole section was deleted, so we're just putting it back like it was. And that's what the amendment is.
Questions, members? Senator Coonan moves the A5 amendment, which puts prohibition on play at the pump. And what's the other prohibition?
The
coin-operated?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it puts a bill back like it was introduced. So it prohibition on e-scratch-offs, play at the pump, and ATMs. The e-scratch-offs, of course, are online. And then but it still does like the original bill does and allows the drawing games online, like Powerball and Gopher 5. So it just puts it back like it was originally.
Senator Gazalka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. We the language of the amendment we passed through out of the Commerce Committee, I think there was maybe two votes opposed, but it was definitely strong bipartisan support.
Oh, thank you, Senator Gazalka. Senator Sanjim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Coonan, am I understand this amendment would not allow lottery tickets to be sold next to a gasoline pump or a ATM device, but you could sell them next to the car wash ticket dispenser or the where you pump your tires up or whatever. I mean, are we being that fine about where these machines are and where they're not?
Senator Cornyn.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Sanjom, it's my understanding that none of that will be allowed. The reason I listed those few items was because that's what's happening now.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sanjom.
I mean, why? I mean, we're listing a couple specific places, but why wouldn't it be allowed in other places? I mean, it is legal.
Senator Cornyn.
Mr. Chairman, I'm probably going to need help with staff okay. on this question.
Ms. Pollack? Ms. Pollack?
Mr. Chair and members, the amendment only prohibits sale at ATMs and pumps. It does not preclude any other type of sales, such as the ones that Senator Sanjom mentioned.
Okay.
Senator Artman.
Mr. Chair, I'm hoping perhaps Mr. Van Petten, when he testifies, can talk about what is currently being done and what's not being done and the kinds of revenues I hope that they're raising. Because I'm surprised they're doing this now. I mean, I knew we had online gaming that was the issue here, but the idea that somebody is going to an ATM to take out their money and being prompted to gamble that money is outrageous. So I'll look forward to Mr. Van Petten preparing testimony about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Artman. Senator Cunha moves the A5 amendment. Anything else, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The A5 is adopted. Senator Coonan, Senate File 229 as amended. Anything else you want to walk us through? We have all heard this last year.
Mr. Chairman, the amendment also takes the language and codes it, so it puts it in the part into the statute books. The original bill, the language was put in session law, and so it makes that change also. It actually goes into statute, into the books now.
Anything else, members, before we call up the testifiers? Mr. Van Petten? Oh. Welcome to the committee, Director Petten.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, at this point, there have been a number of questions raised, and I don't have particularly prepared remarks. However, I would like to address a few of those issues. First of all, the question that was just raised, the ATM and play at the pump sales do not involve cash transaction. Those are debit card transactions. And any winnings under $600 are transferred immediately, well, almost immediately back into the bank account associated with that debit card. It is not a situation of someone taking cash out of an ATM and being asked to immediately spend that money.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roman.
Mr. Van Petten, I appreciate your being here to testify, and I appreciate your answering or providing more information. But debit card or cash card, I'm not drawing the same distinction you are, that thinking somehow the debit card transaction is somehow better if the transaction is at an ATM. And I know we're probably going to get into this, but who, and this is not a rhetorical question, who thought that was a good idea?
Mr. Director Van Petten.
Mr. Chairman. Quite a number of people think it was a good idea. The vendor that developed the technology did so, you know, to avoid lines, to facilitate. We have vending machines now, almost 500 of them statewide, and there are about 135 of the ATM machines statewide at this point. But it's a matter of convenience.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Artman.
I just find it really striking that those big decisions that have such big impacts on Minnesota residents were made without the input of the legislature. And now, knowing that the legislature isn't supported, I'm surprised that it hasn't been suspended.
Mr. Chairman.
Director Van Petten.
Well, I appreciate your comments. That system, the ATM system, was introduced in the fall of 2012, and the play at the pump also in the fall of 2012. We have not had one single report of any kind of harm or abuse of that system, and it, as I said, it's simply a vending machine. We have vending machines statewide, and we do monitor. We support the problem gambling lines more than any other organization in this state, Senator, and we are not going to participate in behavior that we believe is harmful, and we've seen no evidence of that whatsoever. I appreciate your comments, however.
And Director Van Petten, would you be willing to walk us through or help us understand a little bit of the differences between the revenue estimates of last year and this year? When I'm looking at the revenue estimates last year, the cost to the state, if we were to move forward on this, was around $2.5 million. This year, the cost is estimated to be over $12 million. And I'm curious as to what has happened that would have driven those costs up that much. And then I'm also going to ask questions on the revenue side. But could we address the cost issue first?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, the $12 million that is placed in the fiscal note is a secondary potential cost of the violation or breach of the contracts we have with our vendors. And that is not placed in the fiscal note as a primary cost. And I believe last year part of that was placed by MMB in the fiscal note as a primary. But this year it was determined that that would not be a primary potential cost, so was not placed in the on the front page, so to speak. It was put in the comments section.
And so, Director, and do you know what the primary cost would be for this year?
The estimate this year, I think, was $1.3 million based on our sales history. Last year, that figure was estimated to be somewhat higher because we anticipated more costs. However, we have not expanded the system as initially planned, so our actual sales revenues are somewhat lower than were estimated last year.
And then to the revenue side, I'm looking at the revenue estimate from last year. They were estimating, I think it was $7.3 million in revenue, and now this year we're at $1.04. Do you have a little understanding of what the differences between those two numbers are?
Yeah, the last year we had projected sales, and we thought the sales would be a lot stronger than they are. We anticipated a very active program of cross-promoting with our retailers statewide. We have the capability of doing a promotion online on our website and narrowing down those promotions by zip code, and we anticipated doing that in broad fashion statewide with our existing retailers to promote their business and promote our brand awareness and sampling on our website. We did not move forward with that program because of the debate that's ongoing at this time. So the revenues obviously went down.
And, Director, one last question, and then I'll go to the committee. From last year's revenue estimate, I guess this is actually a fiscal note from MMB, but they're talking about, and this is one of the largest concerns that I have, a notable decline in lottery participation among young adults. Minnesota adults between the ages of 25 and 34 declined 62%, and unless this trend can be reversed, the decline in lottery sales and revenue to the state will continue. So is the point of this proposal of moving on to the online to target these 25 to 34-year-old individuals?
Mr. Chairman, I don't like the term target. Research shows that gambling with 18 to 35-year-old individuals is actually on the increase. However, their participation in lottery is on the decrease. In surveys, 84% of young adults, and this survey was 25 to 40-year-olds, said that the reason they do not play lottery is that they do not go in locations that sell lottery, which then in further interview they realize they do, but we're just not on their radar because any retail business that is not on the internet at this point is basically irrelevant to that age group. So by being on the internet, we introduce our products, we allow sampling of our products, however, with a strict spending limitation of $50 per week on that program as well as the ATM and Play at the Pump program, we feel that we've approached this in a responsible manner. We want to introduce our product but try to get this consumer into the environment of our retail partners.
And Director, I'm going to disagree with the lottery in this. I can find no good public policy reason for us to be trying to raise our revenues on that demographic in this manner. It seems to me that as the tax committee, we should be concerned about the methods that we're using to raise revenue for what the state is doing, and I just can't get myself to support that initiative. Senator Gazalka.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Too, as we talked about this, I mean, one of the issues clearly was legislative intent. I mean, we debated whether poll tab should be electronic versus paper, and this is much broader, much more expansion than that. But the other thing that concerns me is, first of all, Sam, I'm not a big fan of gaming in general, but if we're going to do it, then we want the charitable gambling to be successful. We want grocery store or gas stations that have groceries and other items in their stores. We want people to go in there, not just buy a ticket, but also buy some other goods so that small business is prosperous. And the way we've pushed this, or way this has been pushed, skews away from those two things that were actually things about gaming that helped other people, just rather than just money coming into the state. And so I'm glad that we're taking this approach. I think it's worth hitting up again, and those are the reasons why I think we should pass this.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't have any questions for Mr. Van Petten. He presented in the State Government Committee, and we had what I'd like to say was spirited repartee in that committee. But I want to go on record agreeing with Senator Ortman that I simply believe that whether or not you think expansion of the lottery and methods by which you can purchase lottery tickets is a good thing, which I don't. I'm honest about that. But even if you believe that, we need to support the integrity of the legislative process. And this is changing the nature of the lottery in a way that the legislature should have been let in to approve or disapprove and vote. And if there was concern about what the legislature thinks, we know what the legislature thinks. I believe the Senate vote, if my memory serves me, was 56-5 at the end of the last session. And then the House was something along those same lines in terms of percentages. So there was just a handful of votes against this bill, and the lottery continued to move on as though it had never happened. Now, admittedly, the governor vetoed the bill, so it didn't become law. But if the premise is, we're concerned about legislative intent, our intent was made clear, and it was absolutely ignored.
Anything else? Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, one of the things... Someone else may not draw the distinction, but I definitely draw the distinction between offering lottery tickets for sale versus shoving them in your face and targeting certain individuals to buy them. Very different in my mind. It's a very clear distinction, and when you made that leap, I think you absolutely needed to come back and ask for authority through the legislative process and through statute.
Thank you. We have one other person on the list to testify. Anything else, Director Van Patten?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would point out that the average participation in these programs is 45 years of age. It is not an 18-year-old or 19-year-old. But, however, statements have been made in prior testimony that the lottery is illegally acting as a retailer. I would point out to this committee that the lottery has been a retailer since 1989 or 1990 when sales began. The lottery has had a validation window at its headquarters since that time and has actively sold tickets and well within the law for us to act as a lottery retailer. Statements have been made that we are acting as a vendor. I have seen nothing that would indicate that, and we do not act as a vendor at all. The retailer on the Play at the Pump and the ATM initiative is a company called Link 3, and I think Mr. Rice will address those issues. The retailer on the internet sales is a company called Scientific Games International, SGI, and they have been acting in that capacity since the year 2010, which was 2 years before I even lived in the state of Minnesota. I understand, you know, that these issues have been brought up to the legislature in the last year or so, and allegations that the legislature or the lottery has acted well outside the scope of their legislative authority. However, I just would like this committee to know that I got here in 2012. General counsel of the lottery, which was at one time general counsel for the Senate, as I understand it, gave me an opinion, and I shared that with this committee last year, that the lottery did have the authority to move forward with these initiatives. I assumed that was correct. The lottery had been basically selling on the internet since the fall of 2010. So we went forward with these matters. Last year after the defeat and the governor's veto, we did not actually move forward with a few of our programs. We added some ATM locations to prove that the technology worked, to prove that it was beneficial. We really did not add anything to our internet initiatives whatsoever. We did not move forward with our marketing plans. It was up and running as it was. We just left it as is. And that the governor told us to do. I mean, he said, prove your case, so to speak. I feel that we have, but I also, it's very clear that the legislature does not feel that the lottery should have moved forward initially in 2010 at this point. However, that's kind of hindsight. And I would just like for this committee and the legislature to know that no one at the lottery snubbed their nose at this body. We have the utmost respect here. However, there are some real issues here, one of which will be addressed by Mr. Rice, that the Constitution prohibits the impairment of a pending contract. These contracts were entered into under valid Minnesota state law, and to impair those contracts is a violation of the Constitution. And those issues need to be addressed by counsel, by this body. But with that being said, I will accept the action of this committee.
Well, thank you, Director. And Senator Huzelka mentioned this has been through the Commerce Committee. I assume that they took a look at those contract provisions. This is the Tax Committee. We're going to focus in on the revenue. My expectation is when and if this bill gets to the floor of the Senate, that there will be vigorous debate about legislative intent. But we're the Revenue Committee, the Tax Committee. I'm trying to focus in on the policy around this as a revenue source and how we're doing. And, you have some rationales for why revenues are down. I can understand that, but I think this committee is going to focus on that aspect of the debate. Anything else, just Director?
No, if what I said raised any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer those questions, though, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Anything else? Senator Nelson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one brief comment, Mr. Director. I think it's essential that you make your case to the legislature. So I know you mentioned making your case through, I think, the governor's office and the initiatives, but I just want to say that as we continue to see technology advance, there's going to continue to be this brush up between technology and our current policies. And we're seeing that in a lot of things in the legislature this year, and making sure that our state policy keeps up with advancements in technology. And in a sense, maybe the lottery is no different, looking at the lottery online and the pervasiveness of the internet. But I believe that discussion, just like we're doing with body cams and drones and all the other technological advancements, that discussion really belongs in the legislature. And so that's what I am going to encourage, is that the legislature actually weigh in on this technological advancement, just like it is on the others.
Mr. Chair.
Director Van Patten.
Senator Nelson. These issues were brought before the legislature in April of 2010 by correspondence to legislative leaders and to the governor's office, then Governor Pawlenty's office, and no further information was requested from anybody at the lottery. And as I say, that was well before my time there, but based on those communications, those actions at that time, research of general counsel, it was the firm belief that the authority was there at that time and still is, and I believe that to be true. And that being said, I fully understand the request for the current legislature to have more information. You obviously are more inquisitive than those were in 2010 that were notified. But our books are open. And we'd be glad to provide any information requested.
Mr. Chair,
just
the follow-up. And so my question isn't about the books. My question is about the policy. And I was not here in 2010. But, again, it's just the development of technology and the case for public policy. And so I think it is very clear from the previous session that legislators feel the need that we must, as the people's representatives, debate this policy, and I look forward to that. Thank you.
Senator Sanger.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I'm bordering on being confused, and maybe you can help me, Mr. Van Patten. Does the legislature specifically state in law anywhere where these machines ought to be and where they not ought to be? I mean, it seems like we're talking about where the location of a machine should be, and whether it should be next to a gas pump, an ATM, a popcorn popper, or the entrance to a bathroom, or wherever. I don't think we get that specific in either our laws or certainly our policy. I'm just questioning that. I'm trying to understand where we are on this.
Senator Senjum, would you mind if we went to Ms. James? She's Senate counsel for
State Government. Sure, that would be helpful, at least for me.
Ms. James, could you help us understand that question?
Mr. Chair, Stephanie James, Senate counsel, and members, the statutes currently don't define where self-service devices could or should be.
Okay. And, Ms. James, if this bill moves forward and becomes law, it would restrict those in three locations?
Mr. Chair and members, at ATMs, next to gas pumps, and then also the online instant win.
Okay.
Senator Sanjum?
Okay.
Anything else, members?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Nelson, and then we're going to go to Mr. Rice.
Is for Ms. James. What is an online instant win?
Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, it would be something that you tell instantly whether you won or not, like a scratch-off game operates, as opposed to a drawing game that where the win isn't determined until some time later.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director. If you want to stick around at the table, I think there's room. Mr. Rice.
I guess if you don't mind. Sit with both of you gentlemen. Mr. Chairman, thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify. My name is Brian Rice. I'm an attorney in Minneapolis, and I'm here representing a company called Link 3. Link 3 entered into an agreement with the Minnesota Lottery in 2010 to develop this technology at Play at the Pump and at ATMs. The agreement was extended in 2012. Link 3 is a startup company. To date, it's invested about $8 million in Minnesota to perfect this technology. And admittedly, like any new technology, it's had a rollout period. Early on in 2012, we worked with Verifone. There were some issues with that at about 9 pilot stations. That has been corrected. The technology that you now have in Minnesota since 2013 has not had a complaint. It's available to any retailer, although there are many of these retailers have different systems that they work off of. And we've worked with a number of companies to do that. We continue to. We're open to that. There's 60 stations in Minnesota now that have Play at the Pump working. On a variety of basis. This technology is now online in working in Missouri, California, and North Carolina, and a number of lotteries around the country are also very interested in it. And I, Mr. Chairman, I'm mindful that this is the Tax Committee and you're focused on those issues, and I'll try to just cover those issues that are clearly there. But I'd say one thing, in prior testimony, they've talked about the technology. Well, the technology is working. They've talked about it's only offered to selected retailers. No, it's available to any company that can work, that we can make our system compatible with their system, and that hence that's the investment that's gone on. There's been a lot of talk about expansion of gaming and gambling and what it means. Minnesota has legalized through the Constitution two types of gambling. One is pari-mutuel on-track betting in the 82 constitutional amendment, and then lottery in 88. We also have tribal gaming and charitable gambling. Neither tribal gaming or charitable gambling are mentioned in the Constitution. The only two types of constitutional gaming are on-track pari-mutuel betting, horse racing, and the lottery. And I know there's many legislators. Senator Gazelka, you would be one of them. Senator Thompson, another. Both Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, have a lot of apprehension over gambling for a variety of well-held beliefs. But the fact is, the citizens of the state, by almost 60%, approved a lottery, a state-run lottery, which is an exception from the original 1858 Constitution that prohibited lotteries. And that lottery, which generates about a $527 million a year in revenues, returns about $120 million to the state, $50 million to the Environmental
but
Trust
Mr.
Fund.
Mr. Rice, yes. We're not talking about that portion of the lottery. All of that will continue.
Okay.
We're talking about the change.
Okay. Senator, if then I'll just kind of get down maybe to the A5 amendment and state my case and either answer any questions or not. The A5 amendment, I think, makes my case perfectly. We entered into a contract with the state. There were no restrictions. The three restrictions that existed in the lottery at the time are found on page 1.6 to 1.12. It said the lottery couldn't do sports bookmaking, it couldn't do slot machines, and it couldn't do poll tabs. Now, with this amendment, the legislature is clarifying, or would clarify to the director, things that it can't do. And as Senator Sengen, you said exactly to the point of where you can sell and where you can't sell, because there have been 500 vending terminals that are out there. So we believe, as a contractor with the state, that that authority did exist to enter into that contract. And most specifically, I'll just close with this. If you look at the amendment on page 1.26 to 1.31, the legislature is directing the director of the lottery, to suspend the contracts, all contracts relating to the sale of lottery tickets through one self-service device that is part of or shares display with or is adjacent to a retail petroleum dispenser under Minnesota statutes 239-751, and two, a self-service device that is part of or shares a display or is adjacent to an electronic financial terminal. That provision, members, we believe violates Article 1, Section 11 of the state constitution that prohibits the impairment of contract. It also violates the federal contract clause. our plea to the committee is that we recognize the authority of the legislature in this matter, but with respect to the our contract, and I'm not here representing Scientific Games, under paragraph B, we think you have the same issue there, and that would relate to the financial implications of the action that you would take today and the Senate and the legislature could take later in this session. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Artman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know we're not here to talk about the contract, but it would help, Mr. Chair, if Mr. Rice could say how much does the Link 3 get paid with each one of these purchases at an ATM or at a gas pump?
Mr. Rice.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Artman, the lottery pays the retailer a commission of 5.5% on all sales, and the retailer will keeps in this 2.5%.
Sorry.
Mr. Director Van Patten.
Clarify. Link 3 is acting as the retailer on those transactions at the plate pump and ATMs. At the owner of the retail environment that they're in is then reimbursed by Link 3 3% of the purchase. There's also a convenience fee on those transactions of $1, which Link 3 receives. And Link 3 also pays all of the transactional costs, debit card fee, that kind of thing. So the retailer basically benefits at 3% of each transaction and pays none of the fees.
Senator Artman.
Mr. Chair, so then Link 3 gets the 2.5% plus the 5.5% of each transaction to make 6%, pays back the retailer 3%, but also gets a convenience fee of $1. Can you just be specific? What does the vendor get paid for each purchase?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Orman, obviously there's been some confusion here. The transaction, with regard to the sale itself, Link 3 receives the 5.5% retailer commission and $1 convenience fee. Link 3 then pays the retail location 3% out of their fee, 3% of the total sale. So Link 3 is actually only receiving 2.5% plus the $1. But as far as the lottery is concerned, we pay Link 3 the 5.5% commission. They have a separate contract with that retail environment.
Senator Nelson.
Senator Orman. Yes. So Senator is the 2.5% 2.5 cents of every dollar?
Mr. Chairman.
Director.
There is no the 2.5% is the overage for Link 3. So, yes, it's 2.5 cents out of every dollar, but that's the 5.5% original retailer commission. And then the separate agreement is between Link 3 and the convenience store that the pumps are located at, or the ATM.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple clarifications. I appreciate the description of the commissions and how those are dispersed. The commissions are based on a percent of what? Is it the percent of the wagered amount?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson, yes, the purchase, the total purchase.
Okay. Thank you. And then I assume somewhere we'll be able to find how much that has, what that total amount has been that's been that the lottery has taken in these two arenas. I'm hoping that's a public record. And then secondly, what's the contract date? When's the contract end with Link 3?
Director Van Patten.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson, my belief is July 19 of 2018.
And when was it entered?
Senator Nelson.
Oh, excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson. I believe it was July of 2012. And there may be an amendment since that time. I'm not absolutely certain on the beginning date. Maybe Mr. Rice knows.
Thank you. Senator Nelson.
And then one final question. Is a six-year time frame a normal contract period for a vendor like this? Or is it shorter, longer, normal? What's the average vendor length of contract?
Mr. Director. Senator Nelson. That's a negotiated issue. Our contract with GTEC, for instance, with the traditional system, that contract runs for 7 years and allows for up to 3 years of extensions. It's basically an amount that allows a vendor to recover their investment and make a reasonable profit. I don't know that there is a definitive set time period. We determine the time period on the with the GTEC contract, for instance. The original length for the scientific games for the internet gaming was a negotiated time frame, and that actually the lottery originally wanted to make it a shorter period of time. We negotiated to extend that to a 5-year contract at that time to allow an opportunity to recover investment. And that contract ends in April of 2018.
Thank you. And then, Mr. Chair, the last question. Could you provide for me or the resource or maybe for the committee what has been the revenue, what's the history of the revenue for Linked 3 from these type of transactions?
Director Van
Patten. Mr. Chairman, Senator, it's very minimal at this point. I believe the I'd be glad to get the accurate revenue or figure for you, but it's a matter of a few hundred thousand dollars. That's
Thank you.
Very limited at this time because we have not expanded that program.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would wish to testify in opposition to Senate File 229?
Chair?
Seeing that, Senator Sanjum.
Mr. Chair, before he leaves, maybe you can dumb it down just a little bit further on me on this ticket thing. If I buy a $1 ticket, the establishment gets 3 cents, I think. I think that's what you said. And does the lottery then or the vendor get 3.5 cents? Is that as simple as it is?
Director Van Patten.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sanjum. No, I probably am not explaining this well. The lottery has a contract with Link 3 that for each transaction at Play at the Pump or ATM, they get a 5.5% retailer commission, the same as any other retailer statewide. In addition, they collect a $1 convenience fee. Link 3 then enters into a contract with the retail establishment where the machine is located or the ATM or the Play at the Pump system, and their agreement with that retail establishment is that the retail establishment will receive 3% of each transaction. So and that is paid by Link 3. It's contract between Link 3 and the retail establishment.
Okay.
And that would be basically convenience stores and the location where an ATM is located. And those are in, you know, social environments, shopping malls, number of places.
Thank you very much.
Sorry if I didn't explain it.
Anything else, members? Seeing no other testimony. Senator Coonan, anything else?
No, Mr. Chairman.
No closing comments. Okay, Senator Coonan moves Senate File 229 as amended be recommended to pass. This bill is heading to the Senate floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion prevails. Bill is passed. Thank you, Senator Coonan. Senate File 229 is done. Senate File 188.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senate File 188 is the prohibition language. The current form is the same language that Senate File 229 went into finance with. Now, I do have an amendment, the A3 amendment for Senate File 188. And what this amendment does is...
Senator Coonan moves the A3 amendment. Members, is that in our packet?
Yes.
Yes. It's sent to the floor. Senator Coonan, could you explain the A3 amendment, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The A3 amendment lines up the language in this this bill, Senate File 188, with the prohibition language as amended in Senate File 229. So if you look at the top, you can see that it strengthens the language a little bit, replacing nothing in this chapter authorizes the director to. It deletes that language, and then it just says simply the director shall not. So it strengthens that language a little bit. And then also this takes and puts this language, codes the language, so it won't be in, as the bill is now, the language would be in session law, and this amendment codes it so it'll be in the statute books. And otherwise it's the same thing then. If this amendment's adopted, it'll make the language of this bill, Senate File 188, the same as the language in Senate File 229.
Senator Coonan moves the A3 amendment to Senate File 188. Any questions, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion prevails. The A3 is adopted. Questions on Senate File 188, members? Anyone in the audience want to testify in opposition to Senate File 188? Seeing
on behalf of the auditor,
Director Van Petten,
I would just voice the same objections I did previously.
This is relatively close to the same bill. The same objections are in place. Members, I have passed out the A4 amendment. This is an amendment that's a version of a Senator Dames bill that my expectation is we're going to have some conversation about this session. But this would require a warning comparable to what we have on packages of cigarettes and other tobacco products placed on the lottery tickets and advertising. It seems to me that if we want our public to be aware of the options and the possibilities of winning, perhaps the odds ought to be published on these. So I don't expect we're going to move on this today. I wanted to pass it out and make this part of our discussion. My expectation is that Senator Dames will probably be offering this on the floor of the Senate, so we'll all have a little pre-warning here of what's coming. Anything else, members? Senator
Rust. Did you say that this is a bill?
This is a bill.
It is actually a bill.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, what committee is it in?
I do not know, Senator Rust, where the bill is, but it has been introduced. I am a co-author, but I don't know where it is. Senator Rust, I've been informed it's in state and local government.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else, members? Seeing no one wishing to testify in opposition, Senator Coonan moves that Senate File 188, as amended, be recommended to pass. This bill also will go to the Senate floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion prevails. Senate File 188 is passed. As amended, is passed. Thank you, Senator Coonan and members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We are scheduled for Thursday, 8:30. Full committee will meet Thursday at 8:30. Division is not meeting this week. Seeing nothing else, committee's adjourned.